Intercepted information allowed Paul Revere to make his famous midnight ride, warning Americans that the British were coming. Of course, when Jesus returns, there won't be a news bulletin beforehand, but there will be some signs. Find out about them next on Grace to You. As a child, you learn Henry Wadsworth Longfellow's famous poem, Paul Revere's Ride. The poem's last stanza says, "Through all of history to the last, in the hour of darkness and peril and need, the people will awaken and listen to hear the hurrying hoofbeats of that steed and the midnight message of Paul Revere." Yeah, Paul Revere's message was pretty simple. Danger's coming. And for many folks, perhaps many listening right now, that is Jesus' message to you as well. As John MacArthur will bring to focus today on Grace to You in his study called Jesus is Coming. Stay with us now for a lesson that will motivate you to pursue righteousness and to warn unbelievers of the peril to come. Here now is John MacArthur.
We're looking at Matthew chapter 24, the great Olivet Discourse, the sermon of our Lord given to teach about his own second coming. It is a tremendous chapter. Beginning in verse 4, Jesus says, "There are some things that are going to happen before my coming. When these things begin to happen, get ready." So our Lord says the end time will be marked by deception, by dissension, and by devastation. Let me give you a fourth. Desecration. Desecration. And here we turn away from the world to the believers. We turn away from the world to the believers. Now watch this, verse 9. "Then they shall deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." There will be a desecration. What do I mean by that? To desecrate means to treat a holy thing in an unholy way. And that's exactly what it says here. The holy people of God will be treated in an unholy way. There will be an outright and widespread persecution of the redeemed that exceeds all other persecutions. There is no other persecution to even compare with this. So he says, "You who are believers in that day, you will be delivered up." That is a technical word often used for arrest. Often used for arrest. In fact, Matthew, I believe, uses it that way on several occasions. In fact, in Matthew 4:12, when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, it there uses paradidomi. It's a word that means to be arrested. So he says in that time, the true believers are going to be arrested. Arrested. And they're going to be afflicted. And they're going to be murdered. And they're going to be hated by all nations for my name's sake. In other words, because they identify with the Lord Jesus Christ, they will pay with the hatred and animosity of the world. In Mark 13:9, the comparative passage, it says, "Take heed to yourselves, for they will deliver you up to councils, and in the synagogues you will be beaten." The Jews will be in on this. The Jews initially, in the beginning of the end, will be in on the persecution of the believing people. You say, well, where do the believers come from if the church has been raptured? When the church has been raptured, God sets loose in the world two witnesses listed in Revelation 11, and they go everywhere proclaiming the truth. They are murdered by the world, but they rise from the dead, and that will be a very convincing miracle because it says every eye in the world is going to see them. It'll probably happen on national television, international television, satellite television. And they'll rise from the dead, and they'll have an impact in winning some people to Christ. And there will be people who come to the Savior during that period. And they will be the objects of persecution, not only by the world, but by the Jews as well, because they will deliver you not only to be killed, but in the synagogues to be beaten. And by the way, the land of Israel today is literally filled with synagogues. They're everywhere. So that's not a remote possibility at all. At all. And the rebels of that time who refuse to believe in the Messiah, and there will be rebels, by the way, among the Israelites, according to Ezekiel 20:38, there will be rebels who must be purged out. There will be Gentiles coming to Christ. There will be Jews coming to Christ. There will be rebel Jews and rebel Gentiles, of course, who will persecute the true believers. It'll be a time of severe persecution and martyrdom. Desecration, treating holy objects shamefully. They will kill you. Notice verse 9. They will kill you. That is the word for murder. You will be hated not only by the Jews, but you'll be hated by the whole world, all the nations. Therefore, there will be no refuge, no place to hide, no place to escape. And why do they hate you? Because of my name. That's the issue. They hate Christ. The world hates Christ. They always have, and they'll hate him then, especially when they're under the control of whom? Of Antichrist, who sets himself up against Christ. Always believers have been hated. Always believers have been killed. But then it will be beyond anything ever experienced. Worldwide desecration of the saints. They will be martyred and massacred from one end of the globe to the other in that period of time. In fact, the Bible gives us so much detail on this. Look at Revelation chapter 6. And here we look again to the future, the beginning of the birth pains, verse 9. He opens up the fifth seal, and I saw under the altar, that's the place of atonement, these are redeemed souls, seen in his imagery under the altar, the symbol of atonement. They are saved, they're under the blood, as it were. He sees there the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. There they have been massacred right in the tribulation, and John in his vision sees them there, and they're crying with a loud voice, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season till their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. In other words, John sees some of the martyrs crying, "How long?" And the Lord, in a sense, says, "Not until all the rest of those who are to be killed are killed." In chapter 7, in verse 9, John has a vision, and he sees a great multitude, which no man could number, of nations and kindreds and peoples and tongues, and they're standing before the throne and before the Lamb, and they're clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and they're crying out and saying, "Salvation to our God who sits upon the throne and the Lamb." And he sees these people, and who are they? Verse 14, he says, "These are they who came out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." How did they get out of that tribulation? Very little doubt. They were martyred. They were killed for the sake of the Savior, sake of their commitment to him. You have chapter 11 where they murdered the two witnesses. You have chapter 12 where it says the dragon, Satan, makes war with the remnant of the seed. That is the believing people, probably referring to Jewish believers. And then in chapter 13, you have it again, verse 7, "Power is given unto him to kill, and he makes war with the saints and overcomes the saints," does the Antichrist. And so does the false prophet. And you have it in chapter 17. The great harlot, the great prostitute, the false religious system of the tribulation is drunk with the blood of the saints and the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And in 16:6, it says, "They have shed the blood of saints and prophets." They have shed the blood of saints and prophets. Now go back to Matthew 24 and listen carefully. There will be desecration of the redeemed. But listen to this. The fifth sign is defection. Defection. You have deception, dissension, and devastation, and that's worldwide, and that happens to the whole unbelieving world. And then he turns to talk about the believing people, or the people who identify with God and Christ. And he says, first there will be desecration. There will be a treating of these people with great persecution. As a result of that, there will be the fifth sign, defection. Look at verse 10. "And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another." This is just so tragic. The pressure is so great. As the world begins to massacre believers, that some people who have superficially identified with Jesus Christ, like the seed that fell in the thorny ground, it doesn't really have any root, but it pops up and it looks good to start with. Some people who initially identify with Jesus Christ, when they see the price to be paid, they are scandalized. They are offended. And they're not willing to pay that price. So they begin to turn in their offense, and they don't only reject Christ, they betray to the persecutors the true believers. See that? They start betraying the true believers, turning them in, giving their names and addresses, telling where they can be found to be killed. People say, are they real believers? Of course not. If they were real believers, they would continue in the truth, right? If they were real believers, they would give their life if need be. If they were real believers, they'd follow on in obedience. John says it in 1 John 2, they went out from us because they were not of us. If they had been of us, they would have remained with us, but they went out from us that it may be made manifest they never were of us. 1 John 2:19. Jesus said it in John 8:31, if you continue in my word, then you're my real disciple. And our Lord himself laid out the principle of discipleship in Matthew chapter 10. Listen to what he said. You know it. Very clear. The disciple is not above his teacher, nor the servant above his Lord. Verse 24. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher and the servant like his Lord. If they've called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? In other words, if they said Jesus was of Satan, they're going to say it of you, but it is enough for you to be like him. The true disciple is willing to suffer like his master suffered. So fear them not. And then the Lord says, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father who is in heaven. And he also said this, he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. The person who says, I don't want the cross, I don't want to die, I'm getting out. That person is not even worthy to be a disciple. That person is not even a belonging one to Christ. The person who belongs to Christ continues. The person who belongs to Christ is willing to pay the price because, not because he has some special character of his own, but because if he's a true believer, the Holy Spirit grants him sustaining grace. That's the key. You see, in Hebrews 3:12, it says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. When somebody departs from the living God, they manifest an evil heart of unbelief. And Paul said to Timothy, if any man denies him, him will the Lord deny. So these people attached themselves outwardly to Christianity, but when the heat got turned up, they got out. They were offended. Stony ground. Seduced away because they would not pay the price. Like the disciples who said, well, we'll follow you as soon as we go do this. And Jesus said, any man who puts his hand to the plow and turns back is not worthy of my kingdom. And they opt out for safety, but they don't stop there. They betray each other. What a tragic thing. This is going to happen in that time. The wonderful, redeemed, and godly people are going to be betrayed by the people who are offended and aren't willing to pay the price. They're going to turn informer and turn them in so they can be killed, slaughtered. Mark writes about it in chapter 13, verse 12. Brother shall betray brother to death, and the father his son, and children shall rise up against their parents and shall cause them to be put to death. I mean, it'll come right into the family, right into the family, as people under the pressure of having to give their life for Christ bow out and then turn in their own parents, their own relatives. Luke 21:16, you'll be betrayed by parents, brothers, kinsfolk, and friends, and they will cause you to be put to death. That's defection. And some of them will defect because the price is too high. But some of them will defect. Look at verse 11. Many false prophets shall arise and deceive many. Not false Christs now, but false teachers. Some of them will defect because they don't want to pay the price, and some of them will defect because they've been what? Deceived. So the defection will be a twofold defection at that point. Many false prophets will arise. And it says the same thing, doesn't it, over in verse 24. And these false prophets are going to teach satanic, devilish, hellish error. Now listen very carefully to what I say. If Satan is running all over the world, and Satan is primarily disguised as an angel of light, that age is not only going to be filled with all kinds of overt evil, but it's going to be filled with all kinds of false religion. And all you have to do is read Revelation 17 to see that. Because in Revelation 17, you have this unbelievably evil, vile, wretched world religious system called the harlot, the great whore, the prostitute. It is a prostitution of religion. If the church is a bride, this is a harlot. And so there will be all kinds of religious deception flourishing as Satan does everything he can to call people away. So those people who outwardly attach to Christ, perhaps appear interested, are going to be torn away and deceived as cults and isms and all those kinds of lying groups have great effect on the world. Great effect. And by the way, in Revelation 9:21, it says the word sorceries. It's the word pharmakeia. It means drugs. And perhaps drugs will be a part of that quote-unquote religious deception. People will take the mark of the beast. They will worship the vile, wretched image of the beast. All of this a part of the deception. Now I want you to see something else. This is just staggering. Look at verse 12. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many will grow cold. That's the third element of defection. Some defect because they won't pay the price and die. Some defect because they're deceived. And some defect because they choose iniquity. Iniquity is the word lawlessness. It is the word that means they violate God's law. It's just sin gone mad. And the sin will be so abundant that it'll draw people who are moving toward the truth right back out of it. Paul wrote to Timothy and described that last day. He described that wickedness. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. 2 Timothy 3, without natural family affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And the love of many will grow cold because they love pleasure. Global wretchedness, global lawlessness, vice gone rampant, men engulfed in it unrestrained. And it's coming fast, isn't it, folks? I mean, these things don't seem as remote to us as they might to our society 20 years ago. And their affection, though it's shallow, their affection for Christ grows cold. It grows cold. They're wooed away by the love of evil, the wretched love of evil. And then verse 13, but he that shall endure to the end, same shall be saved. How can you tell the saved? Because the saved don't what? They don't defect, do they? They don't defect. They're not going to go away because the price is too high. They're not going to go away because they're deceived. They're not going to go away because they love evil. And so you just keep watching. And the ones that endure to the end, they're what? They're the saved. And they will be delivered out of that. Some will die and some will live, but they will all be delivered, whether in life or death. They will be delivered from the wrath to come. Endurance is always the mark of the saved. Endurance is always the mark of the saved. They endure to the end. In Matthew 10:22, Jesus said it. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endures to the end shall be saved. The man who, in that statement, Jesus was saying, who goes to the end of his life and endures whatever comes, gives demonstration that he is one who in the end will be saved. He'll be delivered out of this life into the glories of heaven. And so it will be in the future. The one who endures all of that, the one who in the terms of Revelation 2:10 is an overcomer. He is an overcomer. He is the one who will be saved. No matter what the persecution, no matter what the price. What a wonderful promise. Luke 21:19 put it this way, marvelous statement. In your endurance, you will gain your souls. What a great statement. It is the one who endures by God's power, God's grace, who wins in the end. That faith, the faith that perseveres is the faith of the saved, the faith of the redeemed. So in the end, there will be terrible defection. Terrible defection as people who identify with the church all of a sudden run. You know, if this were all to break loose on us right now, we'd find out who the defectors were, wouldn't we? We'd find out the people that didn't want to pay the price of death. We'd find out the people who could be wooed off by the false prophets. We'd see the ones who loved their lawlessness more than they loved God. I mean, it would all become clear. And so will it then. So will it then. And only the enduring ones will be delivered. And we see them in Revelation 7, brought out of the great tribulation in garments of white. We see them in Revelation 19 as Christ comes back and they're riding with him in garments of white. They endured and they were given a robe of white. The last point, declaration. The final sign of the coming, the final beginning birth pain is declaration. Before the Lord comes, this has to happen. The gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Before the end comes, before the establishing of the kingdom, this has to happen. Worldwide proclamation of the gospel. In spite of persecution, in spite of defectors, in spite of false prophets, in spite of false Christs, in spite of hell belching out its demons all over the earth, in spite of all this terrible, horrible, inconceivable mess, in spite of people with diminished love, in spite of Antichrist ruling and reigning, in spite of Satan trying to fight against Christ, in spite of wars and famines and earthquakes and all the rest and signs in heaven, in spite of all of that, the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world for a witness to all nations, and then it's going to come, the kingdom. You say, man, how's that going to happen? How's that gospel going to be preached? Look at Revelation 14. This is the last passage we'll look at. Revelation 14, verse 6. And here we are, just before the bowls are poured out, just before the final rapid fire birth pains issue in the kingdom, right toward the end, just before the final Holocaust begins to break loose, I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, says John. And he had the everlasting gospel. Why? To preach unto them that dwell on the earth and to every nation and kindred and tongue and what? And people. There is the fulfillment of Matthew 24:14. That preaching of the gospel of the kingdom of the whole world isn't talking about what's going on now, folks. It's talking about what this angel is going to do in one great supernatural, miraculous, final evangelization of the world. And it happens right before judgment. And that's why the angel says, fear God and give glory to him. That's the message he's preaching. For the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. And another angel comes behind that angel and says, Babylon is fallen, is fallen. In other words, man's day is over. You better get right with God. This is the great evangelistic effort carried on by glorious angels in the heavens flying all over the globe just before the final Holocaust breaks loose. And the everlasting gospel is the same gospel God has always given, that he judges sin and rewards righteousness. And these angels will call the world to the Savior, and then shall the end come. But not before that, says our Lord.
What a picture of the incredible mercy of God, sending an angel to give the world a last opportunity to hear the gospel, repent of sin, and yield to Christ as Lord and Savior. That warning was the focus of John MacArthur's lesson today on Grace to You, a part of his current series titled, Jesus is Coming. John, you also talked today about how in the last days believers will be persecuted, even murdered because of their faith. That suffering is a central facet of the end times, but I know you'd say it's not all bad news. In fact, Scripture delivers good news that far outweighs the bad.
Well, absolutely. The Scripture is written to deliver the good news. Of course, the good news is only good news if you understand that it's how you escape the bad news. The Bible preaches the bad news. The Bible is full of warnings. It is full of testimony to the fact that God is going to judge sinners and those who reject him and reject the gospel of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But the intent of divine revelation
is to offer redemption, conversion, regeneration, justification, salvation to sinners so that they can escape the judgment, escape hell, and enter heaven. When you look at the most dramatic book in the Bible, as far as the end of the world is concerned, the book of Revelation, most people would say, wow, there's a lot of bad news in the book of Revelation. It describes the horrors of the coming time of great tribulation that sweeps across the planet in unparalleled destruction. But that's not the primary message of the book of Revelation. It is the revelation of the glory of Jesus Christ. If you understand the book of Revelation, you understand the good news of where history is going. Let me help you with that. We want to offer a brand new booklet called A Jet Tour Through Revelation, a booklet that will take you through the whole book of Revelation, beginning to end. Topics like the worship of God in heaven, the tribulation period, final judgments to come, the Antichrist, the millennial kingdom, the return of Christ, even the creation of the new heaven and the new earth. If you're wondering where history is going and who isn't, if you're wondering what's down the road for planet Earth and its occupants, get a copy of this booklet, A Jet Tour Through Revelation. Here's the good news. It's free to any of you who haven't contacted us before. So do it today.
You can call us, use your email or regular mail to request this new booklet. It's titled A Jet Tour Through Revelation. It's free to you if you've never contacted us before. Please get in touch today. Call our toll-free number, it's 1-800-55-GRACE, or send us an email to letters@gty.org. Or write to Grace to You at Post Office Box 4000, Panorama City, California, 91412. Again, this new booklet, A Jet Tour Through Revelation, is free of charge if it's your first time to call or write. So simply dial 1-800-55-GRACE. Or send us an email to letters@gty.org. Or write Box 4000, Panorama City, California, 91412. And keep in mind, if you'd like to review John's current study or share it with a friend, you can purchase the 9-CD album or download all 9 lessons free of charge in the MP3 or transcript format. Order the CDs or download the individual lessons at the website gty.org. While you're online, remember, too, that you can purchase any of John's resources, including the MacArthur Study Bible or John's most recent book, The Glory of Heaven. Place your order at gty.org. And now, on behalf of John MacArthur and the staff, have a great weekend. We're grateful you joined us today and want to remind you to watch Grace to You Television Sundays on DirecTV Channel 378 or watch online at gty.org. And then do join us next week as John continues unleashing God's truth one verse at a time here on Grace to You. You've heard of telltale clues in mystery novels, but what is it that may well be the most telltale sign in all of human history? Find out Monday on the next Grace to You.